All right. Well, tonight it's kind of a twofold sharing. I want to introduce you a little bit on how we got God's Word, and that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. And this is along the lines of sharing keys that are in the Scriptures that help us understand God's Word, so that we can walk in all the power and all the love that the Word of God has. I mean, this Word of God is phenomenal, isn't it? I've been at it for quite a few years, and I don't get tired of seeing how big God is. I mean, God just, what He has put in His Word is just out of this world. It's not even of this world, is it? And it's just, it's amazing. It's just phenomenal. And when you get to appreciate and understand that God's Word is the definitive truth of all time, for all of life, then when you go to that Word, you want to go to that Word with a real care and tenderness that you get it right, right? You got to get it right. Man, when we were in school, you got to get those test questions right. You should get a big X on it, right? But see, God's Word is so full and rich. And to learn some of these great keys whereby we can understand the Word and then apply the great love of God that we read in here, exercise the power of God that we have because of what God says in His Word. So that's pretty neat. Pretty neat. God our Father gave us this Word so that we would know Him and the great love He has for us and all the rights and privileges that we have as sons of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15, because this is what we need to do as we go to God's Word. This is the one verse that sets the tone, the attitude of how we should handle and work this wonderful Word of God. So in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God by rightly dividing the truth." Now I'm using the King James here. The word study in the Greek is a word that really means to put forth a diligent effort. And God wants us to put forth a diligent effort to show ourselves approved to Him by doing what? Rightly dividing the truth. Now, the Greek word for rightly dividing is a word that means there's only one way to cut it. Orthotomata, that's it. And it's the right way to cut it. There's a lot of wrong ways. There's a lot of different denominations out there. That's why we have all these different thousands of denominations, because we divide God's Word one way or another. The key here, what's important, if we're going to stand approved before God, is that we rightly divide the Word of truth. So as we go to this Word, I think it's important that we see how we got God's Word and how, in light of it being God's Word, how we need to treat it. So here's an important verse we need to go to right now, is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. So go to 2 Peter in the back of your Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And I'm going to read these two verses, and then we're going to look at them in detail. So verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. First, there's this word prophecy that is in both those verses, right? Mm-hmm. And what do you think of when you hear the word prophecy in light of our modern-day understanding?
Telling the future.
Yeah, a foretelling of the future. you know, give me a prophecy of the future. Biblically, that's not the case. I mean, yes, it can indicate that, but biblically speaking, when you the prophecy used in the Bible is simply, and this is the Greek word as well, is forthtelling or telling forth. So God can talk about future events, certainly, but he also tells us how we can live our life today and each and every day. So we need to understand that word when we look at it, okay? Let's look at, I want to look first at verse 21, okay? Because this is where we're going to see how we got God's word. And it says, for the prophecy, and that's, again, all of God's word is the scripture, came not in old time by the will of man. The word of God, the true word of God, didn't come because a man sat down and said, well, I think I'm going to write the word of God. And he might not be godly at all. But we've got to understand and appreciate that this word that we are working with in the Bible, that it's not originated by man. That's what God says. It didn't come in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. Now, what kind of men spoke?
Holy men.
Holy men. These were special men. These were people that loved God and God trusted, and they trusted God. And so they were the ones that spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God is the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So God, being the Holy Spirit, told these holy men what to write. Pretty fantastic. Now, what does it mean to be moved? That's a good question. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. Well, as we work that particular word, moved, it's used 64 times, the Greek word that's translated into the English moved. It simply means to bring forth or bear fruit. All right, so just to bring forth, which makes sense, I think, as they were moved or brought forth, the word that was brought forth by God, who is Holy Spirit. All right, so now, let's see some other scriptures in light of how we got this wonderful word of God. 2 Timothy. We'll come back to Peter, but let's jump over to 2 Timothy. Go back a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is a fantastic scripture. This in verse 17 really gives us some insightful information about God's word. But let's look at verse 16 first. All scripture, how much of the scripture?
All.
All scripture. So you think God means some of the scriptures or part of this? No. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You know, people ask, well, what's the benefit? What's the profit of having God's word? This gives you the answer. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and instruction in righteousness or right living. Now, what's the purpose of God's word? Verse 17 answers that question. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So the purpose of God's word is that men of God, women of God are included, okay, that somebody that loves God can be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What a wonderful word to have, and what a great purpose for God's word. But this is for another time to get into this, and we will at a future time talk a little bit more about the purpose of God's word and why it's profitable. We'll work this later on. But I want to go back to the beginning in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what does it mean to be given by inspiration of God? The Greek word here is theopneustos. Theo is God, and pneustos literally means breathe. We talk about pneumatic tires or equipment that is run by forced air. They get it from this Greek word pneuma, and this is where this word theopneustos comes from. It literally means God breathe. So when we think about holy men of God spake as they were moved, well, we see here that all scripture is God breathed. God breathed. And that's a figure of speech. God is spirit. He doesn't breathe. So this is a wonderful figure of speech, which is another great key in understanding the scriptures is figures of speech. Not going to get into it tonight. We're going to focus just on a couple things here, but that'll be a wonderful study for a future date. Well, let's go to another verse that tells us how we got God's word, and we'll put it all together. Galatians 1:11 and 12. So the church epistle of the Galatians. All right, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And again, I'm using the King James. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Well, where did we hear that before, right? That the scripture's not of by man. They didn't originate it. And of course, Paul is the writer of the book of Galatians. God is the author. And Paul is the writer of this. And he's saying, it was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this word revelation means, again, in the Greek, an unveiling, a manifesting, a revealing. Makes sense. I think we understand that word there. And so this tells us how we got God's word. Got it by revelation, Paul did, of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a number of different writers of the Bible. And Paul, being one of them, got it by revelation. He didn't get it by man. He got it by revelation. And so when we put all this together, comparing these scriptures, to be God-breathed is the same to be moved by the Holy Spirit, which is the same as to have revelation. That's how we got this wonderful word of God. It wasn't by man. And a lot of people think, well, man came up with the Bible. Mm-hmm. No, it's God-breathed, all scripture. And it came by revelation, not by man. And as holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Pretty neat, huh? Mm-hmm. God communicated to each man, to each holy man, such as Moses. Moses wrote the Bible, the first several books of the Bible. David, Isaiah, Paul, Peter, and all the writers of the scripture, they wrote it in their own style, in their own vocabulary, but with the words given by God. You know, God would work with each person with the vocabulary they had. And that's why you see some differences, like the four Gospels. You'll see some of the Gospels, like John, just flows beautifully. Mark is a little choppy, simple. And it just reflects on who these guys were, their backgrounds, their education. And if they didn't have the word cantankerous in their vocabulary, then God didn't give them that word. He talked to them with words that they could use. Pretty neat. Well, this is how we got the magnificent word of God, okay? Now, I want to handle another thing with you tonight. And so we need to go back to 2 Peter. I'm glad you're tracking with me tonight. I hope you are. To me, this is fantastic. When I first learned this and saw that the Word of God didn't come by man, that holy men of God spake as God told them what to write, I was so glad that I could work with a God-breathed Word. Well, there's something we need to know first, and that's that 2 Peter 1:20. And it starts by saying, knowing this when? First. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, and we know that prophecy means that which is foretold, or it could be forth in the future told, of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So God wants us to know this first and foremost, that the Word of God is not of any private interpretation. Now, what does he mean by private interpretation? Well, the word private in the Greek is the Greek word idios. Mm-hmm. Idios. And it's used 114 times in the Bible. This is the only place it's translated into the English word private. Most of the time, it's translated as one's own. Mm-hmm. One's own. And that makes sense. So, idios. So, if the Scripture is of no private interpretation, and it's not of one's own interpretation, then we don't have the right to interpret it. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not of one's own interpretation. God did not give us his word so that we could interpret it any way we want to make it sound and say. God intended the word to say what he wanted it to say, right? Mm-hmm. So no one has the right to interpret God's word and make it say what they think. So since this is the testimony of the Scriptures themselves, there's only two possible alternatives in light of this being of not one's own interpretation. One, either there is no interpretation possible, and we cannot understand the Bible, or the Word of God interprets itself. And really, God does want us to know his Word. And the Word does interpret itself. But how does it interpret itself? That's the challenge. And there's some wonderful dynamic keys that we can look at, and we will look at in the future, to see how God's Word interprets itself. You know, the last two teachings we've had, last Sunday and last week Thursday, Barney taught on Orientalisms, Jeannie taught on Orientalism Sunday, and that's one of the great keys in understanding the Bible. Orientalisms is simply the biblical customs and manners that experienced in the Bible times, right? So there were a lot of ways they did things that are different than how we do them today. And so it's reflected in God's Word. And if you don't understand the customs of those times, then it's hard to understand what the Word of God says. So as we look and learn about those Orientalisms or those customs and manners or idioms, then we can better understand what God's Word says. So we're going to have some wonderful sharings in the future on these keys, on how the Word interprets itself, so that we can really, again, tap into the great power that God talks about in his Word, that we can walk as more than conquerors. We heard that in the manifestations too. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to live the love of God. He says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Wow, what does that mean? How can we really walk out with that? So this study of the Word of God is just fantastic. And we want to be, what, workmen. Put some diligent effort into working God's Word so that we can walk in all the power and love that the Word of God talks about. Okay?
Amen.
All right. So